Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. So how do we take a life challenge and turn it into an opportunity? Well, my next guest is Jill Bunny, and she's done just that. In fact, there's something really special about her last name, and I can't wait for you to hear the story. And it was during that moment that really launched her into her fitness career, where she went on to be a four-time bikini champion in the IFBB. She has been the front cover of many health and fitness magazines, including my favorite, Strong Fitness Magazine. And now she's helping women with Kristen Crowley with Reframe, and they're helping women with their business, with their fitness businesses. And she's been a coach, a trainer. She is all about perspective and mental health and wellness and well-being. And so the conversation that we had, I think, will change your outlook and change your perspective and really encourage you that no matter what comes your way, you can turn it into something positive. So stay tuned for this incredible conversation with Jill Bunny.
Okay, welcome to the show, Jill.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here. This is going to be a fun episode, like right from the start. Well, let's just dig into it.
Well, yeah. So can I first ask you, because I haven't asked you this before, but can you, like, your last name,
yeah.
Bunny, like what legit, a cool last name.
It is legal. It is actually my last name, but I was not born with it. And I didn't marry somebody with that last name.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I made that up all on my own.
So what inspired that as your last name?
So when I was 25, I was married at 23. Tip, don't marry the first person that you become boyfriend and girlfriend with. It might not last. I don't know. Anybody that has, good for you. So I got divorced at 25 and I moved back to Canada. So I was in England at that time. And I was kind of in that rebellious stage where you say, well, I can't keep my last name because my husband doesn't really want me anymore. And I really don't want to go back into my past and with my family. Like, I want to move forward. And I was sitting by the lake reading a fitness magazine, and a little bunny kind of ran across my feet. And I thought that's going to be my last name. I'm going to open up a business called Fit Bunnies. Like, this is my movement forward. So.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I had no idea. Like, that's.
But I will say something like pretty funny. People are like, well, why did you come up with an animal? And I have to say that in my first marriage, my last name was Fish. And my first name is actually Jill with a G. So I was actually Gil Fish. So I changed my name to Jill with a J, and now I'm Bunny. So
yeah. Oh, I dig it. I just think it's so cool because, like, it's just so unique. And then you have the whole, like, I saw your logo on your website, and yep. It has like the bunny ears, which is like so perfect.
You know what? I wake up every day seeing the ears and just the transition that I made from a really difficult time. And it just makes me smile. And who knows, in 10 years, if I might take my husband, I've married a really beautiful, amazing man. He goes by Mr. Bunny, but you never know. I might take his last name. But at the moment, I'm just really enjoying being just authentic in myself.
I just love it. That's awesome. That's just a great way to start this whole conversation.
Right? Like, so this girl's got no credibility. Look at her last name.
Oh my gosh. And that's so not true, y'all. Like, I want to talk about that. You have graced like the covers of many fitness magazines. You are a four-time IFBB bikini pro. And, you know, at the height of your career, you got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Like, how did you handle that?
Yeah. So I was actually diagnosed after I technically retired. I took a break and I knew that I was at the height of my career, that I was winning and I was going to lose at some point. And I realized, being, you know, 6'4" with my heels on, that is not a height requirement to be the best of the best when it comes to a bikini competitor. They're about 5'6", 5'7". So obviously my genetics didn't really work in my favor to be continuing in that realm. And my body was suffering pretty hard from a mental standpoint, physical standpoint. So I said to my husband, let's do the Arnold one more time. Let's go and win it back to back. And then I'm done. I'm glad I did win that, phew, because otherwise I would have tried to keep on going. And literally 2 months later, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And that was just like icing on the cake for having my complete identity taken away from me. Being a competitor, obviously gracing covers, that's what everyone knew me for. And then saying, well, I'm retiring. I thought I could still be in the game. And then, okay, you've got thyroid cancer. Now you've got to go through treatment. I put on about 70 pounds. It was probably one of the most difficult time periods of my life, if I'm being honest.
It's hard for me to comprehend or process that. Mm-hmm. And then you're now currently living with MS as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was actually diagnosed with MS at 27. So before I had cancer. And that was one difficulty when I was competing. I thought, man, like, this is a really difficult sport. It is a difficult sport, but it was very hard with the fatigue, and my eyesight was very, very poor, and my coordination. So trying to put on 5-inch heels and walking depleted without any water was very hard. And still to this day, I deal with MS on, you know, on a daily occurrence if I get stressed out or if I'm too tired. And I just realized that we all have limitations. And for anybody that says you can do anything you want in life, well, okay, that's great. But, you know, I take what I have in stride, and I realize that in essence, yes, my health might not be picturesque and perfect, what people see on the outside. Just don't be so judgmental. And I just literally am just thankful every day that I'm still here, being able to walk, being able to think with my brain and help others.
Your whole outlook is so positive, and to me that is so inspiring, because I think you being an athlete and being dealing with the physical challenges and that being like an outlet for you, how do you maintain that kind of attitude?
Mm-hmm. I will say I didn't always have it. I used to be very, very hard on myself, very negative, and it wasn't until I retired and really had that scare of my health being taken away from me that I had to make that shift. And I will be completely honest. I think I've done one other podcast where I started to talk about it, and that's being highly functional with depression and anxiety. And I still deal with that to this day. I'm high functioning, which is very difficult, and very difficult to get the help that you need, because everyone on the outside sees you doing everything that you should be doing. Like, you're managing very well. Sure, in the eyes of everyone else, maybe, but being high functioning doesn't mean that you're okay and able to do things. So for me, it was finding the right help and reading, you know, books that changed my perspective, which is about CBT, which I know we'll talk about. But it was getting the right help to shift my mindset and to be appreciative of what I do have and what I can control, because heck, I can't control having MS or cancer. But it was looking at parts of my life that, heck, yeah, okay, what can I control? What can I, you know, focus on? And I've had a lot of great support from people to help make that shift. And there's no way I could have done it on my own. And for anybody that's listening here, it's okay to not be okay. And when somebody asks, hey, how you doing? You could be like, I'm doing shit. Like, I'm not doing so well. That's okay to say that. You might shock a few people, but you know what? You might say it to someone that can really hear you and shift you in the right direction. And I'm so thankful I did have those people in my life, because otherwise I don't think I'd be on this podcast talking to you right now.
Support system is so important. I'm such a big believer in that. And I really think having women supporting women is even more important, is having that connection and that community. Do you have some women in your life that are really strong supporters?
Yeah. You know, some of them come and go. That's what I will say. When you start to make changes, it's not that those people are wrong or they're bad people. It's just you're changing. So we start shifting. So as I transitioned out of competing, I lost a lot of friends, but they were in my life at that point and served a purpose. Amazing memories. But, you know, those people don't really support what I'm after, my initiatives and my beliefs. So that kind of made a big shift and change. And a lot of people that support me, I will admit, do not have social media. So you'll never find them online. And what I love is that when I talk to them, they don't have their phone beside them waiting for, you know, like a text or something, that they're fully there to, you know, listen and bounce ideas off of, which is really important. Having an elderly mother. I really hope she's not listening to this podcast right now. Mom, I love you and you're not that old, right? She's been a very great supporter. So I couldn't have done anything without her. I would say moms are always difficult at times, but we'll always say that as kids, but they're all, I'm very lucky to always have her there when I needed her. When I was going through a divorce in England, I called her crying. I'm surprised she even understood it was me on the phone, and she was out on a flight the next day, right? She was there throughout my whole cancer, there throughout my MS, there throughout my depression. Couldn't have done anything without my mom. And then obviously my husband, my dog, and my best friend, Kristen Crowley. It's just, women are amazing. And I'm so blessed to, you know, have that. And I hope all of you guys listening have that support system too. And if you're like, shit, I want that, we'll go get it. We'll be your friends.
That's what this is all about. It's just connecting. You'd mentioned CBT and you've coined it. So what is that? What does that
mean? Yeah. So CBT, we're not talking about weed. I'm really glad you said T and not D. So literally half the time I talk, there's like, oh, CBD. I'm like, oh gosh, we're going there already. So CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy. So it is a theory that a lot of therapists use to be able to help people and treat depression, anxiety, body dysmorphia, literally any mental illness that you can think of, even like bipolarism, that is being treated with CBT. It is the hub, and then there's subsections. So obviously being a fitness trainer, you think, well, what the heck are you doing with CBT? Like, that's nuts. I read a lot of books and went back to school because that's helped me through my cancer treatment and my depression. And then I realized that, wow, these skills and tools that I'm learning to be able to think more realistically. So yes, we all have thoughts. Some of them are crazy. Don't worry. We all have them. We have 50,000 a day. And it's those thoughts that we have that overconsume us. We get feelings, whether we feel good about ourselves or bad or sad. And then obviously we'll have a behavior that connects to it. So with CBT, we want to look at, okay, well, what thoughts are not very helpful when we're really pissed off or we're feeling sad or guilt or shame, and, you know, behaviors. A lot of the time I talk to women about food, right? It's that binge eating that I hear quite a bit and deal with. It's like, well, okay, well, how can we first be aware of those thoughts that are happening, and how can we rephrase them and rewire them in a realistic manner and very structured? So I'm type A, I'm very structured. I'm not loosey goosey. I need to have a system in place. And that's why the CBT worked very well for me and works very well for a lot of athletes or people that love structure. And then I just started doing it with my clients when I was doing food and training plans. And I started to notice that they were getting better results, and they were able to sustain their weight loss for a long period of time, where we know majority of people can't. And then I thought, okay, well, this might be the missing mechanism and tool in health and fitness. So I ended up creating CBT Meets Fitness. And then I've taken it a step further, created a certification program for health and fitness professionals, because we need to know those skills, because technically we're frontline therapists without the skills to be able to help our clients. And I think now with COVID, oh my gosh, and the election, right? There's a lot of just stress. And we come to trainers, we come to people to get the help, but they don't have the skills to be able to send us in the right direction. And that's kind of what I was interested in, and saw such a huge shift and change that now I've gone back to school to become a psychotherapist, because I want to make sure that obviously I'm regulated and doing everything that I can without harming someone in the process.
That's awesome. You have really, like, you've gone to school, you continue to go to school, you continue to educate yourself. And then you're creating this program to help other professionals. Do you feel like this is definitely something that every coach and trainer should have in their toolbox? Or do you feel like it's just for, you know, for just certain groups of people that should, or trainers or coaches, or do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. I would say it takes a certain person to be able to understand CBT. So if someone's just after a quick fix money, right? So they're like, I'm after some quick cash, definitely not your system to use for your business. But I would say for anybody that's really in the healthcare profession, for wanting to take that oath of helping people, we need a long-term approach. Whether you're a doctor, I have physiotherapists, trainers, life coaches, you know, having these skills helps us with our clients, because there's no right or wrong answer, right? So we're always looking for this program that says, yes, this is how I'm going to help my client, or this is the food plan. It doesn't work like that, right? And our bodies have so many factors for things. So it's biological, psychological, social, cultural. There's so many things involved. And if we're able to understand how to ask the right questions, not be judgmental and look at all the factors involved, we will make a change to the client. And the client already has the answer. And it's not our duty to push something on them. It's to listen, reflect, maybe even ask for clarity and get them to come up with that, you know, answer on their own, and then help guide them with experiments. So I never say, let's do this. This is a plan. It's let's experiment with, you know, maybe going to bed a half hour earlier. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you might have more energy the next day? I don't know. Okay, let's try it. Right. So then it's that, okay, you know what? I'm just going to test something out, see if it works. And I find that it's just less stressful because it's not that I have to follow this plan. And if I don't, I failed. Oh, let's just get rid of that mentality.
That's such a great, just a great way to look at it. Cause I do feel like a lot of people, if you give them a plan or you're sending them something like that, that it is that like pass or fail.
It is. And it's, you know, I would say as any fitness trainer, should they have this access? Yes, they should have access to this type of education and training, because at the end of the day, a food plan's a food plan, right? It's like, well, why can somebody eat this chicken that I write and somebody else can't? There's a lot of factors. And it's frustrating as a trainer. I've been there saying, okay, well, I'll just go take another yoga class or another course. And maybe then it'll help that client. But it's saying you have all the mechanisms in place, but until we can be able to come to a level playing field with our clients and really think of them as an individual, we are very complex. Like, I don't even get myself half the time, right? We never will. But it's saying, you know what? I'm complex and I'm going to figure it out the best that I can. And I've definitely found that CBT has been my saving grace for my own health and happiness and for the clients that I've worked with. And I just hope that, you know, more people take it on as a tool, not a therapy, because that can be a scary term.
I think it's a great tool. I think when I was reading about it, and I was really fascinated with it, because I don't know how many, I can't even tell you the number of trainers and coaches that are in my circle that are like, I feel like a therapist. Like, I'm a therapist. Like, I'm not even, like, half the time when I'm training people, it has nothing to do with what we're doing. Yeah. Zero. Yeah. It's all about,
how amazing when I talk to trainers, they're like, I feel like a therapist. I'm like, you're doing the right job, because your clients are open and they're wanting more from you. And it's as a trainer saying, okay, well, what are my capabilities? What can I learn within my profession? And then how do I refer out? How do I, you know, build the community with other therapists or other people that can help that client, right? And the hardest thing is to be able to say, you know what, this isn't the right fit, or I can no longer help you, but I do have somebody else that I think can. And that's a huge thing that I think anyone listening that might have a business and say, well, I'm too scared to give up that client, or I don't know what to do. You don't have to know what to do to help them, but you do need to have those resources in place, or, you know, talk to somebody that might be able to help refer you in the right direction. And me being able to work with professors, I just kind of have that little icing on the cake luck where I can talk about a client and say, you know, what is my capabilities, or what can I do? And I can, you know, discuss some solutions and stuff like that, which, you know, it feels that I'm confident and I'm making sure that my client's safety is intact at all times. And it's, we do, again, we need support, whether it's from family or friends or from business, you know, we all deserve to have that to, in order to help one another out.
Yeah. I think this to me is probably one of the most important parts of our conversation, because I feel like there are a lot of coaches and trainers that are listening. And I think that this, again, would be a really important tool. Mm-hmm. You would be a fantastic resource for the CBT training. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you for this specifically?
Yeah, just type cbtmeetsfitness.com. There's a ton of information on there. Just shoot me an email. I'm always here to help discuss or kind of figure out people's paths and what they can take. And a little tip for anybody as a trainer, make sure that you take care of yourself and your health. I didn't, obviously, and I got dinged pretty hard a few times. It's something called a little bit of compassion fatigue, where we're constantly working, constantly, you know, serving other people, especially as women, we're human givers. Like, we want to give, right? We need to be attractive. We need to be on point all the time. And when we're dealing with, you know, people day after day and their traumatic experiences, sure, we do. At some point, we get tired of showing compassion. And we need to be able to fill that cup up, which means that you need to take care of yourself. And you are number one. And I will completely say that over and over again, because I've made that mistake myself.
That's such an important point, because I know I've been a trainer and coach for a long time too. And you get to the point where you give so much, you tap out, or you get to the point where you just can't do anymore. And I thank you for saying that, because I think that's a reminder to all of us that we are not like superheroes. No. And that we have to be conscious of our own health.
We do. And technically from like a therapist point of view, I know in fitness, we don't really have a regulating body that has a ton of guidelines and ethics that we need to adhere to. But if you look at, you know, you could look up, you know, the Psychotherapist Association, go and look up their guidelines. And it states that, you know, if you're unable to be empathetic, then you can't train your clients, that we're not doing our ethical duties for that person. And that they basically do state that you need to take care of yourself. And reading that was a big eye opener for me, because otherwise I could lose my license, specifically because I'm on too long and I'm not able to show compassion, empathy the way that I would. And any client that we work with deserves our 100%.
That's awesome. What would you say to someone? So getting to like the individual, and I mean, this could be a coach or a trainer too, because we all have our own personal struggles. And a lot of us, I think in fitness have had some kind of, and I could be speaking for myself, but have had some kind of struggle with relationship with food or relationship with exercise. What would you say to someone that's struggling with that currently?
Well, first I'd say you're not alone. And I was reading a research paper the other day, and it said that 96% of women are dissatisfied with their body or have a disordered eating or, you know, overexercise. So 96%. So really I'd be like, well, is there anybody that doesn't? So we'll just kind of put that out there. And I would try and shift your perspective, right? And kind of look at what you're feeling towards food and training in your body. I'm not taking away that it's difficult. Of course, I've been there and I train ladies and I work with ladies all the time with those, but we want to look at it from a perspective of what is it exactly, and taking out those emotions, right? So oftentimes we catastrophize something of maybe the cellulite on our butt, right? And we just get so focused on that one aspect. And we think that this is the end of us. This is so traumatic. I can't believe this is happening. And I kind of take a step back and say, well, since I've just started talking about this the last 15 seconds, 5 kids have passed away because of malnutrition. So every 3 seconds, a kid dies in this world. That's traumatic. Not your cellulite on your ass, right?
Right.
So I usually say to women, if, you know, we're struggling, okay, you're not alone. This is very normal. If you didn't, I'd be like, you're 4% of the world. But let's take perspective, take it back, and really look at what this issue is and what we can control over it. And let's kind of just look at it face value, because oftentimes as soon as we catastrophize, we feel anxious, we avoid something, we feel like it's a lot worse than it really is. And when we kind of get that perspective, it kind of calms us down a little bit. And I feel like that works very well. And we just think of what is the most traumatic thing in this world right now, in your life, and is it our food? And if it is, okay, we can really work on this. Like, this is great.
Yeah. In perspective of everything else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you put it like that, because I think a lot of times we get stuck in our own head and just like you said, focused and then fixated on that one thing that has nothing to do with like whether you're a good person or, wonderful human being. Like, it has nothing to do with that.
No. Like I said, I'm not negating the fact of any mental health or depression, anxiety associated with food. This is legitimate. This is a real concern. But again, we need to put some perspective back. But when we're living in, for people, most of us listening, we are in a first world. We are in like Western culture. When we have different difficulties in our day versus someone else, but sometimes when we just kind of take a step back and look what other people are dealing with, it kind of, I hope it doesn't make you feel guilt or shame, but it just puts things into perspective and saying, okay, well, I am very lucky for the life that I do have. I don't like these bits, but a lot of people don't like certain things, but what can I change about that? And what can I control? And, you know, you can make your life beautiful. We just have to shift our perspective, and it's going to be hard some days to do it, but we just have to push through.
Right on. I think too, having just like you're saying, that positive perspective, but for me this year has been, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, a gratitude box. So like I don't do it every day, but during the week, I try to write some things down just to keep my head in the right space.
Yeah.
Because COVID has been so hard with you're isolated from people that you do get, I feel like we do get super focused on ourselves. I think that's been part of maybe some of the hard places for people. It's not just the connection, but just all of a sudden you're like completely hyper-focused on you and everything about you.
Yep.
So
have boundaries and kind of shut off. And that's what I realized from like COVID and having compassion fatigue and, you know, taking time for yourself that during COVID, we're in a crisis mode. You know, we're in our house, we're trying to help others. And, you know, we're constantly inundated with information, or our phones are dinging left, right, and center. And it's just getting that time for you and taking a breath. And, you know, this is our new norm, right? It's now, how are we coping with COVID? Like, how are you going to live with this? This is what is going to be happening. And it's looking at putting those boundaries and things in place in order to make sure that, you know, we're taking care of ourselves the best way possible. And my best advice is boundaries, is set them, especially with your phone.
Take a break from social, walk away, put it down, walk away. I've had to do that a couple of times recently, where I've gotten so wrapped up in it. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this isn't even,
it's the rabbit holes, man. It just takes you down.
It'll take you from one thing to the next. And I'm like, okay, set it to the side. Just walk away.
I always end up looking at animals. I don't even know how it happens. Maybe because it's my last name. I don't know.
Some funny video. Like, it'll take you from one thing to the next.
Oh yeah. It's true.
All right, so let's talk about the newest adventure you have going on with your best friend, Kristen Crowley, which is Reframe. Reframe your biz. I want to hear about this.
Oh, my. And you know what? I'd say that, again, when, you know, some doors close, weird stuff happens. And I would say that go with your gut and, you know, just be open and trustworthy, and it'll be amazing of what can kind of transpire. So Kristen Crowley, I know she talked about our story, but we connected through my thyroid cancer article in Strong Magazine, and we were chatting on Instagram, and that was it. I don't even remember what we said. And we ended up being in Arizona at the same time. So I'm from Toronto, she's from Virginia Beach, and we ended up being there. We're like, how? Let's go for coffee. Like, I have never even met this lady. And we went for a coffee, and it was legit, like, we are meant to be together. Like, I swear, if she was a man, we'd be married. Like,
I love that.
It just kind of slowly transpired. We didn't think of a business. We just really loved hanging out together. And she came to me with a business proposition to run a retreat for another company. And I thought, oh, that'd be really cool to do together. And well, that company was fraudulent. So we thought, well, we should just do it ourselves. So we created Reframe Your Biz, and she has been my rock this past year. And this was created before COVID happened. And I honestly don't know how I would have gotten through this year without her. And we were meant to build that company together. And it's literally about helping fitness professionals and like photographers or any solopreneur that's a female and helping them build their foundations, because there's too much, I'm going to say it, bullshit out there without any backing. And we're just sick and tired of people being taken advantage of. I've been taken advantage of in multiple occasions in business and photo shoots. And I was just sick of it. And I just want to be like the mama bear. And so same with Kristen, she's more mama bear. I wouldn't mess with her. And we've kind of just created that company, that network where we help them. And for 2021, we will be doing retreats, and I've got photo shoot experience and she has huge amounts of media experience. And we said, you know what? It's hard to build branding material when you don't have a lot of money, but you want high-end shit. because everybody has high-end shit online now. It's not like 10 years ago. It was a lot easier back then when I started running my business. Very different now. Systems and everything like that. It needs high quality video and photos. And that can cost $25,000. Who has $25,000? And we said, we can do that a lot cheaper. And we can do it with a network with women and traveling and being able to experience each other. So we've created photo shoot retreats. We'll be in Tulum, and literally you get videography, photography, you know, stock photos, get to hang out with 15 other business women, use them for your photos. And I really wish I had that when I started out my business, because, oh my gosh, that would have been a lifesaver.
No, I love it. I'm actually, and like, I'm, this is how I met both of you, was, yeah, was through Instagram, and then becoming part of this. And I've learned so much already and continue to learn, and I, and just being a part of this group and working with y'all. And I look forward to being part of the, of one of the retreats next year. But I, yeah, like it's awesome. It's an awesome community and information, and y'all are incredible.
You know what? It's just being able to connect with other women. Like, I absolutely love it. I love Mondays. We do our brunch and brand calls where we get to have master classes and just talk business, but cut the bullshit. And I just can't wait to go away on vacation and shoot with you guys. Like, it's just, it feels like a dream come true.
Yeah. Lots of fun ahead for sure. Right? Yeah. I mean, Chris and I talked about this too, like, and you kind of touched on it, but I feel like there's a lot of branding and a lot of things that are surrounding female businesses. There's a lot of that out there, but I feel like just the side of like the fitness side and that kind of, you know, that niche, if you want to say niche market, I think that's what makes this really cool and really neat and very needed.
Yeah, you know what? I would say that was one thing that Chris and I talked about is, you know, changing the way fitness branding is done. It's not to say that, you know, it's wrong. It depends on what your niche market is. If you're a fitness competitor and you're a coach, makes sense to not have a lot of clothes on Instagram, because, you know, that's what your niche market is. That's what you're representing. But a lot of us that are in fitness, who are a clientele, they're 40, they're 50 years old. You know, they don't really want to see you in a bikini. Maybe you think they do, but, you know, is that really inspiring for them? And I used to think that less clothes is more inspiring. You'll get more likes, you'll get more comments. You'll get more likes, but it doesn't convert depending on what your business is. And that's what I realized, that going into helping women with disordered eating, do they really want to see me with a six pack? Like, is that really helpful? No, that is not helpful to them. And the last thing I want to do is trigger, you know, somebody's emotions for the type of client that I have, right? So that's where I've shifted my own branding, as in I wear clothes on Instagram. Like, that's important to me. That's very important to me. I deleted all my bikini photos, and I love bikini photos from other women, and I support that in the retreats. That's going to happen because that's their type of clientele. That's who they are. And that's really what Kristen and I are after, is finding your brand's voice, what you're after, and really getting the photos that represent that for your fitness business, and not following suit what we see on Instagram and we think that works. Because honestly, since shifting my brand and my message, I've booked more podcasts. I'm so lucky to be on here. And, you know, more clients have reached out for training and for CBT, but there are also just other people saying, I'm just really happy you're doing this, and it was meant to be done. So, you know, that's what we hope we can do for people, is just get their brand voice and not be afraid to be authentic in themselves.
That's perfectly said. And the part that you just said about, because you, of all people, like, you know, front cover of magazines, you've been in bikini, mm-hmm. that's what you were known for. And then mm-hmm. you're completely shifting your message. So that's really a message for all of us too, as we, in our career path, as we change, not to be afraid to shift mm-hmm. with that, depending on who you're serving as clients. And that it's like, and it's funny, like you say, like, I'm going to have clothes on, you know, but really, like, you know, that's an important
message. That's my goal. I told my mom I'm going to have clothes on. And by 2022, Google will recognize me for clothes, because apparently it's all bikinis right now. I'm like, oh, Google, why you do that to me? Right.
But it was my 20s. I Googled you.
Right.
Yes. And all your images came up.
There's a lot of bikinis. And yeah. I have no problems, right? I have some people say, do you like feel guilty for what you did? Oh my gosh, that was like the time of my life. And I'm very proud of the accomplishments I made. And I love looking back at them and seeing how I've progressed and who I am today. However, I don't really appreciate Google not showing who I am today, right? So if you Google me, it makes no sense. So that's kind of where we are from a branding perspective as well with Kristen and I, and helping others and myself, is saying, okay, if you're changing, we also need to change your images across the board. And it doesn't happen overnight. So we're after a 2-year transition in order to get that, you know, in the world online. But don't be afraid to do it. And I would say that anybody that's listening here and saying, yeah, you know what? I'm afraid to put on more clothes, right? Because usually less is more revealing and you get your clients. Well, when you're 45, 50, who are your clients? And are you going to be wanting to wear a bikini? And that was my, I was scared. That was my fear, is saying, well, I'm no longer a competitor. How long can I hold this up, this little act up? And I will say act because I'm so conservative. And I thought enough's enough. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I actually love shooting with clothes on, because you don't have to think, oh, do I feel bloated? Like, legit, I get those feelings. We all do. It's nice. You're like, okay, well, I'll drink some gin and then I'm going to go shoot the next day, because it doesn't matter. I'm wearing clothes.
So true.
So true. But don't be afraid to change, or, you know, at least you get the support. And again, it's not an overnight process with the branding. And when you do it, you might get some really bad comments, or people are very confused because they know you for something. And when you've completely changed in a day, they're like, I don't get this. Right. But stick to it. You know, you have the support, and, you know, you can really rely on friends and family and a few people that know that you're branding, or you're part of a network and you're saying, guys, like, I'm shifting some shit right now. I need the support online. And then you get that support from, you know, 30, 40 people commenting and really supporting you to help push you and moment you forward, which what we do with Reframe, when people are rebranding hard, they need that support.
Absolutely. And I think that's huge. The whole branding thing, I'm in kind of in the same transition, mm-hmm. Even with myself, like, you know, with Be Amazing and figuring out, like, I'm in that place right now, mm-hmm. that shift. You know,
it's a fun, weird place. You know what? Anyone listening, I call it a fun, weird place, where you're going to kind of be like a ping pong ball and you're going to go back and forth, back and forth. And that's okay. I've never met somebody that just makes a huge shift in one day and they never look back. Right. You're going to play around a little bit because you know, it worked in the past. Right. And you're like, it did work. And you go back. And I did that for a while with, you know, my photos that I posted and who I trained, you know, because of that scarcity and fear. And then at some point you're like, there's nothing else holding me back there. And then you kind of feel that freedom, but there will be a ping pong effect for sure.
It's letting go of the identity of the person that we were to evolve in the person mm-hmm. that we want to become.
It's hard and it's disappointment, yeah. Right? I was afraid of disappointing others, of saying, this is what people come to me for. And are they going to be disappointed that I've changed? Right. Or am I going to lose following? Oh, I've lost a lot of following. I will say that on here, mm-hmm. but that following followed me mostly because I wore bikinis and they were men. So I'm really glad that I've lost like probably 7,000-8,000 followers over the past 2 years, but they were men and they weren't my clients. So I'm okay with that. And looking at following and social media to an extent, it's the quality. And I usually say that, you know, what you're putting out there matters every single day, because you're making a shift and change in someone's life. Personally, if you're just posting photos for family, super fun. I love them. Post your dog. Like, my dog's right here looking at the camera for us right now. But if you're a brand and business, just kind of think twice, you know, when you're posting that, you know, how is this going to affect my customers? How is this going to affect my clients? And am I being reactive? That is the one thing I will say, that usually if I'm going to post anything or I feel heightened emotions, I have those feels, I will walk away. I will write it, but I will not post it. And then I'll come back to it. And I'll be like, ooh, I'm glad I didn't post that. I have multiple ones those days, but it's just not worth it in the long term. So don't be reactive.
That's so true. Like, sometimes you do, you just have to put the phone down and just let it sit, yeah. And don't respond.
And you know, those people, like, Donald Trump's Twitter. I'm shocked. You don't want to have that shocking effect to your clients. Like, imagine your face when you see stuff and you're shocked. Don't be that person.
No, don't be that person.
Don't be that person. Unless it's entertainment, but we don't want a shocker.
No. All right, so we're going to shift gears because mm-hmm. I know that you have to have either, and I always ask this question, but do you have a song that you have to listen to when you're going into the gym, when you're firing yourself up or getting yourself super motivated for a workout? Mm-hmm.
It was Confident for a while. I have that one. I like that. But it's Numb Encore. Legit, that has been so old, like from back in my days when I played volleyball. And it's just stuck with me. Weird, eh?
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to that. Because
do you not know Numb Encore?
I don't think so. Oh. Although I'm not really good with song titles, unless it's like current.
It's not current. No.
Yeah. It's throwback stuff. But this one I'll have to, yeah.
Throwback. So anybody listening, type in Numb Encore and you jam it out. Don't judge. Or you can judge. It's okay.
Judgment free zone. Okay. I'm going to have to listen to that one because I don't know that one. Interesting. Well, the last thing that I always find really important mm-hmm. is I always come on the podcast and have like, you know, certain things that we want to try to accomplish and mm-hmm. questions I want to ask. And, but this last thing is really open, and it's, is there anything on your heart that you feel impressed to share with mm-hmm. the women who are listening?
I would on it. That's a very good question. I would say that looking at your body and feeling your body, that it's not an ornament, you know, it's a vehicle, that your body's a vehicle in order to achieve your dreams. And oftentimes we just get stuck and complacent. But if we treat ourselves with respect, and that's hard, respect is not taken lightly, can go a long way. And I hate the term respect is earned. I believe everybody from a humanistic standpoint deserves respect. It can be taken away. So no matter who you are respected by me. You're respected by us. You're respected by your family. You don't have to earn it, but you don't want it taken away. And you never want to take it away from yourself. And that's the first part, is respect yourself. And I hope that you guys spend some time today doing so, whatever that might be, some self-care, you know, you are number one.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for being on this podcast. Like, it's an honor. Like, it's an honor to have you on. I've followed you for some time and just appreciate you taking the time to talk about your journey and to share how your life has changed, how you've taken challenges and have turned them into helping other women. And to me, that's beautiful. And so I just really appreciate your time today. This was awesome.
No, thank you. I love your mission. I'm so excited for next year to be at your event. Oh, it's going to be amazing, but incredible job that you're doing. And I appreciate being on here and sharing the message, and I'll keep supporting you. Amazing job.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at @itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.